I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend? Or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Don't take this as the most important observation from the NBA restart in Orlando, but LeBron James either trimmed the gray out of his beard or he dyed the gray in his beard. Did y'all remember seeing the way that he was doing the exhibitions and hanging out on the tiered bench area? I'm not really sure what to call it. It's not a bench anymore. Bench feels gratuitous. He was noticeable for the shaggy gray beard. Well, it was bushy. It wasn't shaggy. But the bushy gray beard, and the gray is gone. Gonna wash that gray right out of my hair. I'm gonna wash that gray right out of my hair. I wonder if he did that. I wonder if he dyed the gray. If that's available in the bubble, or as the NBA would like us to call it, the campus. Whatever you call it, the NBA is back, baby. 141 days. So not quite as long as baseball had to wait to return, but 141 days. From the time basketball shut down on March 11th, suspended the season indefinitely, to the next games that counted. I got to tell you, I was really feeling for the players. What must have been their anticipation, their anxiety, maybe a little bit, their nerves. Surely their excitement, their energy, the adrenaline. And it was evident on the court. The intensity was there. They weren't always smooth. They definitely need to get back into a rhythm. And some of these teams are not quite full rosters yet, Clippers being one of those. But still, to see them inside the bubble, the way that it's framed, it may look and sound different, but basketball is basketball. And a win is a win is a win is a win. And for the first time since 2010-11, the Lakers have 50 regular season wins. See what I mean? It counts. Good morning to you. Happy Friday. Ooh, happy last day of July. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We're live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. If you need to know what it takes for a home loan to fit your budget and your family, Rocket can. We had a chance to catch up with Mark Kestisher, who called the Lakers-Clippers game from inside the arena on ESPN Radio. And he joined us from Orlando, so he's in a different bubble, not the same bubble as the players. In fact, never the twain shall meet. They're in the same arena, but they use different entrances. They've got plexiglass between them. So he said for the first time ever, he called a game from behind plexiglass, which I can imagine is something that takes getting used to. Maybe that's something NHL fans can talk to Mark about, sitting behind plexiglass and watching a game. So we'll share a portion of that conversation with you, because it's one thing to watch it on TV or listen to it on the radio. It's entirely another to be inside the arena for what is an historic occasion. I did actually ask him that. Did the magnitude of the moment dawn on him? And he said, I refuse to think about it. I usually wait until after the fact. But it dawned on me. No doubt there were many moments over the course of the last 4.5 months where these guys wondered if they'd get back to hoops. Sure, they wanted to. But this was a massive undertaking. And I'm so impressed, and this applies to the NHL as well, I'm so impressed that these athletes have done everything that's been asked of them, mostly. I have to make the exception for Lou Williams. They've done everything that's been asked of them. The type of protocols and guidelines that were never part of the deal. But for those guys who were determined to play and finish the season, it was worth it. And the championship will be worth it. After following everything they've gone through over the past few weeks, after knowing the ins and outs of the ramp-up process and how committed they are to making this work, there is no part of me that believes the NBA championship or the Stanley Cup title will not be legit. They've had to go above and beyond to make sure they get back on the court, back on the ice. And they're doing what's asked of them, whether they like it or not. Because the goal is to win the title. And there's an opportunity dangling right in front of them. So congratulations to the NBA. I know many people thought it couldn't be done. They're doing it. Same thing with the NHL. And it was cool to see them back on the court. It wasn't eerie quiet. TNT definitely found a nice noise level, a crowd level. They maneuvered the camera angles so that you really didn't notice much that there were empty stands or even that there were these giant LED screens. For the most part, you could only see the bottom of the screen. So the larger than life fans who were making all these crazy gyrations, you didn't see them much on camera. They're a little bit distracting, the screens that are constantly moving and the lights are changing. So I could see how that would be distracting. It definitely would be for a viewer on TV. Almost depending on the angle, you could lose the players in the LED screen. So they kept the camera angles pretty tight. And the noise was, it was there, but it wasn't overwhelming. Now, on the radio broadcast, as I had to do my homework before talking to Mark, I had to hear at least a quarter of his broadcast. At the end of the game, when Clippers-Lakers went down to the wire, on the radio broadcast, the fans were piped in so loudly as to make it seem like the arena was full of 20,000 people. But also, Mark and his partner, John Barry, who's a former NBA player, they were actually having to raise their voices to talk over the fake fans inside the arena. Actually, they're not inside the arena. It was just really surreal. But if you didn't know this was 2020, you wouldn't have known that arena wasn't jammed full if you were listening on the radio. So it's interesting how different networks have tinkered with the audio and have decided, here's what works and here's what we're going to do. So I want you to hear a little bit from Mark. So bring back part of that conversation. But the whole thing is on our podcast, afterhoursamielawrence.com. Because it is the last day of July, this is not necessarily a sports question, but because it is the last day of July, what is the best thing that happened in this last month in your world? Does it need to be sports? Some of you are pointing to grandkids, vacations, Jamie got a job. I think it was Nick who bought a house and graduated college. Those are all really cool personal milestones. So please, we'd love for you to share them with us on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. And our phone number, 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. For a while, it looked like the Clippers sharpshooter Paul George was going to pull this one out for the other L.A. team.
Rips through down the middle of the lane. No foul called. Kicks it out. George in the near side corner. He got a three ball. PG-13 unconscious from deep once again. And he's got 27 points to bring the Clippers to one. 99-98 with 90 seconds to play. 33 seconds left. Get it to George. Top of the key. Double nearly Keem. He'll step into a straightaway three and buries it. Paul George automatic in the clutch. 30 points for PG-13, and the Clippers have tied it at 101.
He looks healthy. He looks vibrant. He looks full of energy. So the time off was great for Paul George, and he had a couple of big threes at the end of the game to bring the Clippers back in front again. So it was a real seesaw affair, actually, in both of these games, both halves of the doubleheader. Each team was strong at one stretch and then would fall behind. The Clippers were up in this one, but the Lakers had a 12-0 run in the fourth quarter. And so Paul George brings them back and ties the game at 101 with his sixth triple. That's Noah Eagle on the Clippers radio network. So he had 30 points, Kawhi Leonard with 28 points. And it's fun to see those two guys on the court together. I'd kind of forgotten. But, you know, the other team had a pretty good tandem on the court as well. When LeBron sat down in, I think it was in the fourth quarter when he had his break in the fourth quarter, the beginning of it, Anthony Davis was on the court and had a lot of the bench players out there with them. And yet, because of the skill of Davis and the leadership of Davis, the Lakers were able to come back anyway. But of course, once we got to the end of the game, tied at 101, that was LeBron time.
LeBron's got it just inside half court. Game tied at 101. 10 seconds to shoot. LeBron runner in the lane. No good. Got his own rebound and scores. It's 103-101 Lakers. Timeout Clippers. And now, Michael, the Clippers can go for three in the win.
And now, Michael, if you're Michael out there anywhere listening in Radio Land, that is all about you. So that's John Ireland with Michael Thompson on the Lakers radio network. It came down to a couple of seconds to go, and I kind of feel like this was the right choice. Not a great shot, but the right guy with the ball in his hands.
Kawhi steps back. The Lakers have Paul George. George is out near half court. 2 seconds left. 1 second left. Three for the win. And no good. Was a foul called? No. And the Lakers win it. 103-101. Paul George is livid.
Hey, Michael.
He thinks he was fouled on that last second three-point attempt. Michael, what did you think?
Our crack audio department didn't feel like it was important to hear Michael's answer. Dave, would you like to, I don't know, pretend like you're Michael and answer the question? I feel like we left our radio listeners hanging. So when I originally heard this audio in our system, I thought, I'm going to have to cut that part out at the end. I'm going to edit it out. And then I listened to it a couple more times and thought, it's funny. One of our part-timers decided that no one, it was rhetorical. Maybe he thought it was a rhetorical question.
Maybe he thought, you know, the Lakers side, they were obviously going to say that, oh, of course it wasn't a foul. LeBron would never
do that. It's just assumed?
Yeah, never.
We don't actually need to hear it.
It was good. I actually re-listened to it myself, and I was like, maybe I should edit this before we play it. And then same thing. I'm like, it's fine. Let's go with it.
It's quirky. We don't really want to hear what Michael has to say. It was just a rhetorical question. I'll answer it. I'll pretend like I'm Michael. Let him play. Let him play. It wasn't flagrant enough. Let him play. And of course, Michael Thompson played in an era where you were actually allowed to body up on defense and you were allowed to play the game as a contact sport. So I hope that's okay with you, Michael, that I answered the question that way. It's just, do you think he actually listened to the end of the cut, or do you think he thought it was artsy? Like, this was his way of creating art with the audio, or?
If I could enter the mind of the person who cut it, I'd be amazing.
Okay, we have to hear the end again, because I just feel like it's so, it's just, it leaves this heavy tension in the air, like, leaves us hanging.
103-101, Paul George is livid. He thinks he was fouled on that last second three-point attempt. Michael, what did you think?
That's it. We don't actually get to know what Michael thought. Until next time, tune in when Michael answers the question.
What's funny is in both of those cuts, Michael is referenced and we never hear, him trying to cut in.
I guess maybe John was just trying to make him feel included, or maybe Michael had technical difficulties and he actually couldn't respond to the question. Maybe.
How far apart do you think they're sitting from each other?
They're not in the bubble. I was told that there are no local broadcasters in the bubble. I could be wrong. Maybe they have exceptions for LeBron's Lakers, but I was told that at least at this point, there are no local broadcasters. So potentially they could both be at Staples Center, maybe opposite sides of the court, or maybe one of them's at home. I don't know.
Maybe they just can't see each other and it was a delayed reaction. And
or maybe John Ireland didn't care what Michael had to say. Or probably most likely our part-timer did not care what Michael had to say.
Nope.
Okay. I mean, it's slim pickings sometimes during a pandemic. I'm sure he's a really nice guy, but he's going to have to learn that. Dave, I volunteer you to tell him that we need to know what Michael had to say.
You got it.
Okay. It wasn't a foul. They didn't call it a foul. It wasn't a foul. But it was cool to see the game go down to the wire. Big picture. We're back on track here. It was cool to see the game go down to the wire. And these two teams have split the season series. And so if, it's a big fat if we could hear what Michael had to say, if the Clippers and the Lakers end up in the Western Conference Finals, I wouldn't mind seeing a duel. It would be historic because the Clippers have never been there. They've never made that final round of the Western Conference postseason. And to do it against essentially the team that's been their big brother, the bully big brother all these years, and to do it in this unique setup in Orlando with the bubble, it pretty cool. Also, this was something that was kind of a unique phenomenon as well. You don't see this. You see it at AAU tournaments, or you see it at March Madness hubs. So the pods where March Madness gets together and plays a bunch of their first and second round games. You had other players in the arena in spaced out seating. So they're on the court. Well, on the court. They're just off the court, but they're at court level. And they're sitting there watching Lakers Clippers, guys that were from other teams like Portland.
I think it's just pretty cool. You know, and I hope throughout the course of this this time over here in this bubble that I can make it to a few games too. Just out of the love of the game. I love, you know, getting an opportunity to watch the game live.
It was pretty neat to see that. That's something that you don't ever see. So like I said, it's totally historic and I believe a momentous occasion, and I'm looking forward to seeing how this plays out. But most importantly, it can be done. We are seeing that it can be done. If everybody commits to it. And that is a triumph. It's a triumph for the league. And I think if you're a fan of basketball, just a fan of having these live team sports back for months and months and months, we wished for them and we hoped for them. Well, they've returned. So I'm going to enjoy it. However long it lasts, I'm going to enjoy it. And I hope that you will too, even if you are skeptical. You can find me on Twitter, ALawReady. Happy last G of July. It's the last day of July. That's cray. No, Amy, don't ever say that. It's the last day of July. That's crazy. So what was the best thing about July for you on Twitter or on Facebook? And our phone number, 855-212-4227. A little bit of news from college football. And also, Jamal Adams wants you to know exactly how he made his decision to pursue a trade. I mean, he tells you he's thrilled with being in Seattle.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
How did you do that? Did you actually go back into the audio coffers and find out what Michael had to say? Or was that you serving as an impressionist?
No. I went back. I found it. That was the actual call, the actual audio. Lakers Radio Network. That is what he actually had to say.
Now, I wonder why our part-timer decided that that he couldn't include that part. I mean,
I'm not sure. It was only about 5 seconds, so yeah. I'm not sure.
I wouldn't say that it's critical for the call, but I guess if you wanted to know if Michael thought it was a foul, then you could have easily tacked on that piece of it. Well, that was brilliant. After 5 minutes of searching, Dave found the answer from Michael himself. I feel better now. Thank you. I can go off onto my weekend and not feel like I have unanswered questions, or at least not this unanswered question. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Thanks so much for tuning in. In your world, best part of July. You can find me on Twitter or on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. So in college football, on Wednesday, we got the announcement from the ACC that the league would do 10 conference games, but preserve one of the non-conference games in college football for the express purpose of keeping those rivalries that have been so traditional and so popular with the SEC. Huh. Well, then the SEC turned around on Thursday and made its announcement after voting among athletic directors, university presidents. The SEC decided, thanks, but no thanks. We're going to go ahead and we're going to do a conference-only slate so that you, ACC, are out of luck. I don't know that it's a slap in the face necessarily. I think it's pretty standard now that a lot of these conferences are going to go to conference-only games in college football if they have fall sports at all. So ACC, Big 12 right now, more of the aberration where the other conferences have decided they're going to stick to their own leagues. Why? Well, because it allows them to control the atmosphere. They know there are uniform health and safety protocols from campus to campus inside their own conference. Travel, it's not as though they're necessarily traveling shorter distances, maybe in some cases, but they can control the process a little more. And they also have flexibility. By taking two or three games off the schedule, they end up with the flexibility of being able to move games around should something about the pandemic, a mini outbreak, or just maybe it's weather, whatever postpones a particular game. Weirdly enough, though, the SEC isn't going to kick off until the end of September. So as opposed to leaving some open dates early, maybe they're thinking if we wait until the end of September to start, that might give us a more realistic shot. So it just, I don't know whether or not these conferences even care to coordinate anymore. I think it's probably every conference for him or herself now, for itself, because they're desperately doing everything they can to preserve the college football season, because it's not only a lifeblood, but it's vital to their university budgets. So right now they're trying to come up with the plans that they think are most viable, and that apparently varies. It's interesting, right? Because in the case of, say, the playoff, or even going back to the BCS, it was the Power Five conference commissioners. And I know there's been some realignment in there, but it was the conference commissioners who would band together to form this alliance where they would come up with what they felt like was the best plan and most profitable for all of their member schools. Not so much in 2020. As I say, it's every conference for itself. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS, our toll-free line. And it's sponsored by Geico. Did you know right now Geico offers an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies? And that's on top of what Geico can already save you. So what are you waiting for? Visit geico.com to learn more. Let's quick squeeze in a call with Kevin, who's listening in South Carolina. Kevin, welcome to After Hours.
Hey, good morning, Amy. How are you?
I'm good, thank you.
Hey, so that guy that talked about going on vacation for 2 weeks with his dog, Penny. Are you sure that wasn't just one of your social media proposals that you talked about a couple weeks ago? Maybe this guy.
Oh, maybe in his imagination, we're going on a 2 week vacation with my dog, Penny, you mean?
Yeah.
I don't think so. My dog, Penny, wouldn't go camping at this time of the year. That poor dog, and I did take her to the groomer on Thursday, but that poor dog doesn't want anything to do with the outdoors much right now.
Oh, man. I just heard that. I thought it was funny. So this college football thing, I'm a South Carolina fan.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, South Carolina Clemson, it's 111 years they've played.
I know.
Effectively.
It's a bummer.
And I don't really like what the SEC did. I did like what the Syracuse AD had to say with what the ACC is doing, because he basically came out and said, you know, this plan doesn't necessarily benefit us, but even though we compete against each other as a conference, when it comes to the league, we are a team, and we want to support these rivalries the Clemson, South Carolina's, the Georgia Techs.
Right.
So I thought that was cool what he had to say, and just really disappointed in the SEC and the stance that they're taking on that. But I guess you got to do what you got to do.
Well, and it was a vote, so we don't exactly know which way the vote went. But as you point out, these are games when typically the SEC would be dominant. Not always, but, you know, we're talking about South Carolina, Clemson. Clemson's one of the national powers now. You know, Georgia, Georgia Tech. Georgia's been so active in the SEC, even getting the SEC championship recently. And Florida, Florida State, another one. And then Kentucky, Louisville. And so he made a good point. The fact is that it doesn't necessarily produce wins for the ACC, but they wanted to preserve the rivalries for the fans and give them something to look forward to. And yeah, I really can't imagine them without fans in the stands there, but I also can't imagine them without having these games at all. And so I agree with you. It seems like the ACC went out on a limb to try to preserve these opportunities, and then the SEC kind of steamrolled them or disregarded that, I guess.
Tell you what I'm going to do. The day of South Carolina, Clemson's supposed to play, or was supposed to play, I'm going to tailgate anyways, and I'll just put on an old game, I guess.
There you go. One of the classics. I bet you can find them. They're all over the place. Wait, unless, Kevin, you're one of those people that has them on, let's say, VHS tape. Do you have an old one on VHS?
No, I don't. Maybe I'll go back and watch the 1980, the brawl.
There you go. Don't brawl, though, with your neighbors. That's a good way to pass the virus. It's not a good idea. All right. Well, it's good to talk to you. Thanks for your humor.
All right. Bye. Good morning.
Last day of July, and somehow we still have our senses of humor, I think. Some of us. Certainly the guy who was cutting our audio last night, he has a great sense of humor. He's jerking us around. All right, coming up, a little bit of the perspective from inside the arena last night when the NBA restarted. My friend Mark Kestisher was not quite courtside. He'll tell you where he was, but he was inside the arena for Lakers Clippers, and he's also in the bubble. Da bubble!
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
I just got this tweet from a listener. Perhaps Michael is just a metaphor. He represents us, the audience. No, Michael's actually real. He talks to him a lot, which is okay. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. John Ireland and Michael Thompson on the Lakers Radio Network. And LeBron James loving the intensity from the first game out and getting that ball in his hands. He misses the first shot, but he follows it up because offensive rebounds rock. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio the morning after the NBA returns. But a few hours ago, had a chance to catch up with Mark Kestisher, who is the play-by-play voice of the NBA on ESPN Radio. And he's in Orlando. Not only that, he was in the arena. He's in his own little bubble, not quite the bubble with the athletes, but he was there. And I wanted you to hear a little bit of his perspective because it's pretty unique. I started out by asking him, where exactly is he watching the game and calling the game from?
We are about 70 feet off the floor. It's I'd never been at the arena. I've called a college basketball tournament at the HP Pavilion, which is down the road and one of the three sites they're playing at. And they built a platform about 70 feet up, and it's large plexiglass. And they built enough booths to house the TNT broadcasters who were there tonight.
Mm-hmm.
And the ESPN broadcasters who will be there tomorrow. And, you know, the ESPN guys have their own spot. Turner has their own, so they don't have to clean. And, you know, they could set it up the way they want to. And then there's a table behind them. And we've got about, I don't know, 15, 20 feet for the four of us to spread out. So I have to look through plexiglass, which is about 20 feet in front of me.
Okay.
And there's a couple of weird angles where you're looking at the floor, but I do have a program monitor and a stat monitor, and I was pleasantly surprised. I've called games, obviously, you know, without any barrier for many years. I've called games off monitor when it's been necessary, you know, it was too far to travel, whatever, and that has its own set of challenges. So I was expecting it to be a little more difficult, and I thought for night one, I was happy with it. We'll find some ways to tweak some things. But overall, it's a really cool setup, I think, even for the media. I ran into Steve Ballmer, the owner of the Clippers.
Wow.
He's even made his way in, and there's a little perch they'd set up on either side. I believe that would be, you know, down the road if ESPN had a studio show on one side, Turner would have their studio show on the other side, and the commissioner, Adam Silver, Steve Ballmer, some other folks were taking the game in from that side. So it's eerie, I guess would be a good word. obviously, we're in unprecedented times, you know, as a country, as a world, and from a sports perspective, too. And so it all just kind of added up tonight. And I guess we always talk about a new normal. We'll be used to this in about a week or two, and it'll just be clocking in for work.
What did it sound like to you inside the arena?
Well, the funny thing is, and you'd appreciate this, you know, from a radio side, when you put your headphones on and you hear the sneakers squeaking and the virtual fans cheering, sometimes you forget that you're in a fanless arena. Mm-hmm. And it actually sounded pretty authentic. And then, you know, the broadcast ends and I take my headphones off and I'm talking at the same volume and I realize, why am I shouting? It's very quiet here. So it's odd. It's very, I don't know how to explain it except to say, you know, there's nobody there, but when the headphones are on, you feel like you're one of, I don't want to say 20,000, but that you, there's a lot of people there and it's a very, very strange feeling.
Interestingly enough, I'm glad you said that because I was listening to the fourth quarter that you did with John Barry on ESPN Radio. And when you were calling the end, the put back by LeBron James, and then of course the last second missed attempt by Paul George, you guys were amped up. Like you, I wouldn't say you were yelling, but you were using extra volume because the noise behind you was so loud. I actually thought, wow, they have got this crowd noise piped in so loud that the broadcasters have to talk over it. I mean, does it really feel like that when you're doing the game?
I would love to know. I say yes, yes. It felt as normal as, you know, as anything I've done. I mean, there's been times where I can't hear myself over the crowd, and it certainly wasn't that. I probably should give credit to our engineer, Al Rosenberg, who I'm sure had it set up. So he's a great guy mixing stuff, a great sound engineer. And I didn't ask him before the game. A lot of times I'll ask him what I like, what I don't like, a little more of this, a little less of this. And I thought maybe it's possible that he was pumping in, you know, a little bit extra. And maybe that's how it came across. And I actually sent a few texts to some of my colleagues just to see how it sounded. So I'm glad to hear you thought the same thing, because I think that's the effect we were going for. I don't know if that's the exact effect that they're hearing on the floor or if you happen to be in the crowd watching it. I have a feeling it was. Mm. And I think it was very authentic, and it made it easier as a broadcaster, too, because there's nothing worse than trying to call, you know, a sports event that has volume and it sounds like you're on the golf course and you're trying to, you know, call the winning putt from the 18th, green. So it was nice to be able to, you know, make it sound like there was somewhat of a crowd there. And I hope it was for the players as well, because I know the energy that I need as a broadcaster, I'm sure they need as well as a player to some degree, and hopefully they got that as well.
In other words, you don't want them hearing what you have to say. You would prefer there be some noise to cover that.
I'm wondering if the plexiglass is really there so that they don't have to hear us, even though I'm sure it's there for medical purposes, but it's serving a dual purpose.
Well, I could hear everything that the referee was saying at the end. So Scott Foster was mic'd up. He was making a couple calls. There were a couple of replays. I heard everything he said over the microphone and over your broadcast.
I wish they would do that next year or the year after, whenever we get back to games that are in arenas with fans. I like that. I would love that for baseball too. When, you know, it's confusing when you have, you know, an official, you know, dealing with a critical call and there's, you know, some kind of communication going on, whether it's a central office, and you are left to almost guess a little bit. So now he's doing that for a reason, because the administrative crew, the stats crew, is all in plexiglass. I kind of said during the broadcast it felt like, you know, going up to the teller at a bank and you have to talk through that communications device,
right?
A squawk box or whatever you want to call it. And I don't know if it was by design. It is by design because of how it's set up, but maybe it's one of those deals where they say, you know what, this might not be bad moving forward. I thought it's a great device. It takes all the guessing out, you know, from a broadcasting standpoint, and we just listen to, you know, the lead official, you know, kind of carry us through exactly what they want to do and exactly how they remedied the situations.
Mark Hestisher just finished up Clippers Lakers, the NBA on ESPN Radio. He's in the bubble in Orlando, so actually on site, not remote. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. How rusty did these teams look to you?
Well, I was surprised that the Lakers looked as good as they did in the beginning. I'll credit rust for the Clippers, but, you know, they're not whole. They only brought 15. You can bring 17. And they were missing five guys at one point during the scrimmage, you know, era. So they only had 10 guys going. So they seem a little behind. We talked to both head coaches earlier in the day, and Frank Vogel told us that he was pleasantly surprised at the shape that his guys arrived in when they started, you know, working out as a team for the first time. And then Doc Rivers was, you know, telling us these guys aren't in game shape yet. I'm hoping that they will be in shape by the time we get through the eight seeding games and then get onto the first round of the playoffs. So I was not surprised at how good the Lakers looked early. I was more surprised that their, you know, whatever they were doing right in the first quarter disappeared for about two quarters of action. And then the Clippers started to get in a little groove. Paul George, if I'm going to single out one guy, looks great. I mean, he came into this season, which feels like 8 years ago, you know, back in October, coming off double shoulder surgery and was not 100% at any point during, you know, the 141 days that we did get in during the regular season. And so this four-plus month layoff has afforded him to get completely healthy. He looked great. And so him and Kawhi Leonard, you know, together, when they get up to speed, and then Montrezl Harrell and Lou Williams, when they get onto this team, makes it a very, very scary group, you know, as we head into the postseason. And I hate to say it, into October.
So weird. But super cool that basketball is back after all this wondering and waiting and watching and waiting and testing and waiting some more. Great stuff with Mark Kestisher. There's more from inside the bubble. I asked him about the size of the campus and some of the procedures. And so it was really cool to talk to him after he called that very first game for ESPN Radio. You can get the rest of that conversation on our podcast page, afterhoursamielawrence.com. And of course, we always post the link on both our Twitter and our Facebook. We're asking you, and some of your answers are amazing. I was listening to Mark, but I was also looking at your answers on Twitter and Facebook to our question of the best part of July in your world. So A-Law Radio or After Hours with Amy Lawrence. I just saw this response pop up and I have to share it with you. Rob on Twitter, my four-year-old son with autism started talking. I mean, that's a miracle. You got a miracle in July. That's amazing. Oh, Rob, your family must be over the moon excited. That's wonderful. So thank you for sharing that with us. And we'll try to get to a few more of these. But Jamal Adams, you know how he commandeered a trade and made sure that he was ushered out of New York, found a new home. He was essentially answering the same question of what was the best part of July for you, Jamal?
I prayed on it hard and I asked God, you know, to place me where I needed to be, whether that was to go back to New York or whether that's to be traded. And this is my calling, man. I'm here to stay and I'm excited to be a Seattle Seahawk, like I said, and I'm really overwhelmed, but at the same time, man, it's so surreal. To be around a great organization like Seattle, to be coached by legendary coaches, Hall of Fame coaches, playing with Hall of Famers, from Russ to Bobby, KJ, Bruce Irvin, Quandre, the list goes on and on, man. I'm just excited to be here. I'm here to help. And, you know, I can't wait to get out there in front of the 12s.
Jamal Adams, as Dave just said in my ear, taking not so subtle shots. In fact, they might be as overt as Joe Kelly throwing at Alex Bregman and Carlos Correa. Maybe not Correa, but definitely Bregman. Jamal's gonna make sure that the Jets remember his parting shots on the way out the door. But I guess it's safe to say we know the best part of July for him because he is thrilled to be a Seattle Seahawk, though he does not yet have that contract extension he was angling for, but seems like the Seahawks have assured him that it is coming. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. Mike is listening in Maryland. Mike, just got a couple minutes. Go ahead.
Okay. How are you, Amy? I appreciate you taking my call.
You're welcome.
So I was listening to you talking about LeBron earlier, and something sparked a nerve in my brain that said, how often in history do we have individuals that when you know that fellow's on my team, we have a shot to win every single year.
Mm-hmm.
As long as he's on my team, like Michael, LeBron, pretty much. I was thinking of folks like, so it's hard in football, and it's Brady, of course, but there's some of the sports, there's so many people like baseball that interact in the game. It's hard to say that guy is the guy we win. Period.
Well, but if you have an ace pitcher who's a lockdown pitcher, your stopper, essentially, you know that every time he steps on the mound, you have a chance to win.
You sure? That's true. I'm thinking championships.
Oh, got it. Okay.
We have a chance at a championship if this guy's on mm-hmm. my team. Like Brady taking the rain by the horns down in Tampa Bay, getting everybody on board with his plan because he's won before. He knows how to do it. Come follow me.
You're right. It could be
not many people in the history of sports. So I just thought it'd be interesting. I'm sure people think of off-the-wall stuff, but but yes. It just triggered my, I'm sorry, my brain went off.
No, it's great. It's good to talk to you. Happy Friday to you, Mike. Thanks so much for calling.
You too. Thanks, Amy. Take care.
That is the case. I mean, with LeBron James on your basketball team, you always have a chance to win a championship. There are others in basketball. I mean, I think Steph Curry's made a huge deal, a huge difference. He's become the real deal, even if you consider where he was when he came out of Davidson. Kevin Durant, I think, gives teams a good chance to win a title. Kawhi Leonard, I think you could probably say that too, but generally if you're going to name one player that gives you a shot to win an NBA title every year, still you look at the season LeBron James had and he is tops on that list in 2020. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Best thing that happened to you in July. I'm going to skim through some of these on Facebook. Josh says the best part of July is today. Because it's my birthday. I'll see you, Josh. Happy birthday. That is a not so subtle attempt at getting birthday wishes on the air from the national radio host. But yay, Josh. Cliff says my daughter finally got her graduation ceremony on the 28th, 2 months late. But that's awesome. You got to see her in her cap and gown. Brian says the Lakers winning last night. Oh, stop it. Kelly says seeing my beloved boys of summer take the field again. She's a Red Sox fan. And then Tom says, I start vacation this afternoon. That's awesome. Oh, Jerry, we adopted an 8-week-old dachshund puppy. Yes, there's so many dog adoptions and pet adoptions during the pandemic. I think that's a huge positive. Have a great weekend. We'll be back on Sunday night to talk hockey, basketball, and baseball. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Boom!
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.